Welcome to day 15 of the 49 days. It's Monday morning, and this week we're going to get into a completely different part of the experience of meditation. We're going to really begin to unravel some of the boundaries that naturally happen with what we call somatic mindfulness, and that's a pretty thorough and deep pool. That's going to have a lot of impact on the meaning and the nature of what we're doing with those cold showers. And I would say very confidently that if you are working with sobriety or reaching out to other things in a way that isn't helping right now in any way, this is going to help you with the why and the urgency and the real depth of what those kind of cravings might be about. So let's check in with our animal self, our central nervous system, what sometimes I can refer to as the horse or your sacrum and spine. So we're going to learn to rely on this part and relate to it and check in with it, but we're going to gradually, as we progress, assume that we're aware of that part of ourselves. It's there. We're not going to become unconscious of it at all. So if your mind thinks like a flashlight, look at the sacrum, look at the spine, look at the gut. What we're going to try and do is say, I am the sacrum, I am the spine, and that is who is seeing the gut. So just to be sure. And this is a bit tricky and funny, but check in with what your attention is doing as your attention goes from sacrum to becoming a sacrum-like attention to your spine, to a spine-like attention to your gut, to a gut-like attention, because as people often do, as we trick each other or we sneak up on each other, and right now I'm sneaking up on you, to keep making it a familiar attribute of yourself, to really become skillful with your attention. So let's keep our sense of our animal body. And I'm going to start using the word qing, and that's a Chinese medicine term for what you might call the feeling of your mojo. And mostly because I'm hoping that we can make the association with our body about sensation more than function. But sometimes we have to sneak up on it. So let's get into the Shaolin breathing. So let's breathe as if we're breathing through a tube underwater. And as we breathe in, we feel like we have to push, like, say, 10 feet of water out of the way with our chest and our belly and our back. So breathe in through a straw, all the way. And as you breathe out, let the imagined weight of the water just push the air out. And that's the beginning of a whole bunch of really specific sort of martial arts things, but it's also a really good introduction to what's called reverse breathing. So if we were to imagine that we're underwater breathing through a straw and we're pushing the air out of the way, focus on your belly button and your spine. As you breathe out, feel what changes with your belly button and your spine. So just try that again. Breathe in really deep and long through a straw. Feel your belly button and your spine. And just let it go. So with reverse breathing, as you breathe in, you actually want to try and hold your belly button towards your spine a little bit, because you're now focusing on vertical breathing instead of horizontal breathing. So if we keep our belly button in our spine, I'm breathing in, and I just sort of hold the belly button in and let the breath move up and down. As I breathe out, I actually want to feel the belly button kind of almost fall away from the spine. And then it finds a kind of middle ground. Now, that's really picky. It takes practice. And it's so worth it. And I'll lure you into why in a little bit. So keep playing with that as I talk about a couple of things. Inhale, keep your belly button just slightly tight towards your spine, just slightly, little elastic band. And as you breathe out, really let the elastic band feel loose. And again, we're breathing in with the sense that we're in a very deep pool. And as you breathe in, you actually have to push the weight of the pool water out of the way. So now you have to fill up kind of side to side and top and in the corners and everywhere else. And the weight of that water is what's going to push the breath out. And again, it's just an awareness exercise to keep us becoming familiar with new parts of breathing that often are not familiar parts of breathing. So, and that form of breathing was actually invented by a guy who was training to sneak up on people underwater with a tube. So that's why it's called Shaolin breathing, because that's where that guy came from. So inhale through the tube. Fill your body, but focus on the up and down, and focus on your belly button and your spine staying connected. As you breathe out, become really kind of almost flaccid for a moment. And then let the belly button fall away from the spine as you breathe out. And this again changes the muscles and the feeling of how we breathe. Excuse me. So just keep at that. Inhale. Reverse breathing, belly buttons and spines. Exhale, nice and slow now. Really release the belly button away from the spine, but don't let it fall into your lap. It's a bit kung fu-y, but that's kind of how you have to roll sometimes. So if you can keep working with the breath in that way, I'm just going to ask you to notice how much more attention you're going to have to use your attention to do that. And that it is going to bring up some charge and some sensation or information from your instinctual selves. So we are really going to have to go deep with our attention, and we're really going to have to trust our embodied self and the little shifts and the little suggestions that we get. Because that's really what's going to carry you through this kind of, I guess, training, if we could call it that, is just saying, well, it's time to do some attention push-ups and some embodied, really deep trust and awareness. So I'm just going to ask you to check in with the rest of your week, the last week or two, and way to go for keeping it together for a couple of weeks. How's your awareness frequency practice? How many times a day do you recall that, you know, you're in your present moment, you're in your body, you're walking through a door, you're checking in with your intuition, you're being really mindful of your state? Because it's more about how many times a day you check in than how long you can check in for. So let's keep focusing on our underwater reverse breathing, because we're doing some weightlifting. And keep filling your egg, but just give it a different shape. So I'm going to speak to something that's now very deeply instinctual and very deeply primal, and it's got the potential to really trigger some strong emotion and instinct and memory. So if you're feeling like you're not really wanting to start off your Monday morning with all of that, then go la 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 la, or watch this later. Or again, just pretend you're watching an anthropology class and you don't have to pay attention to how this affects you. So I'm going to speak very quickly to your solar plexus. And your solar plexus are called that because it's actually a nerve that comes out in the middle of your spine and looks like the sun, because it spreads out like this and it spreads out like this. The bottom part of the solar plexus reaches down into your adrenals, and part of your breath capacity, certain aspects of whether or not you suddenly have to poo and all of that stuff that has to do with survival, but deep animal survival. And that same nervous system, that plexus or mind, reaches in to your viscera and your gut and actually feels how you feel as an emotional being and regulates a lot of how you actually understand intuition and social dynamic and things like that. So it basically brings what I would call a yin and yang to what you might consider your, staying alive fundamentally. And the yin is your social connection or the upper part of the solar plexus. And the yang is the lower part or the adrenal kind of holy crap fight or flight part of your solar plexus. So as you're breathing with your reverse breathing, notice that that breathing specifically puts you in touch with your gut feelings, especially your solar plexus, because you need your solar plexus nerves to do all that muscle control. Ha, those old masters, they really knew what they were doing. So, reverse breathing. Become aware of your solar plexus as a place you feel your life. You feel the fight or flight part, the lower part, and then feel the upper part, which is more in your gut feeling, the place you kind of feel like when you hug people. And that's what we call your tend to befriend mind, because there's actually six different ways that people actually instinctually deal with stress. There's the fight, flight, or freeze, which I'll come back to. And then there's a tend, befriend, and cower. Now, that's not something we often talk about, but I'll just be quick about that today. So keep doing your reverse breathing. Stay with your jing, your mojo, your animal body. Keep your awareness on your solar plexus. So if you were in a fight or flight situation, how does your solar plexus feel if you had to fight? How does your solar plexus feel if you have to flee? Right? Two sides of the same coin, but different, but the same, but different. Now, this is a trickier one. How does your solar plexus feel if you suddenly have to freeze? And that's actually a survival advantage for primates and gazelles and rabbits. And in case you forgot, you're a primate. You're also an apex predator. It's confusing down here. So the freeze response, often people actually literally think means to freeze, and it doesn't. It means to play dead, but play dead doesn't mean to play a 12-hour-old corpse. Play dead means to just play dead, which means you're completely flaccid. So I hope this is working with the screen, but this is the tiger. This is the gazelle. The tiger comes along and grabs onto the gazelle, and the gazelle maybe gets its neck popped, and then it becomes flaccid. And then the tiger comes along and grabs the gazelle and drags it away to feed it to its babies. And the gazelle feels like something that's got no electricity. It's totally atonic or flaccid. Now, this is the instinct and why it works. Tiger comes along and grabs the gazelle pretends it has a broken neck, and the tiger drags it away to feed its kids, and when it goes to say, honey, I'm home, the gazelle gets up and runs away. So if you ever are in a situation where you have to play dead, you can't sit there and go, oh no, I'm playing dead with a bear, and I'm covering my face and doing all these things because I'm in two places at once. You literally have to play dead, like a puppet. So that's not an easy thing for anyone to do. And that's actually why people dissociate in trauma, because we're actually going into the actual free state, which is the play dead state. So just a little evolutionary, hello from the past for all of us. So again, as we're doing our reverse breathing, staying focused on our body awareness, especially our mojo awareness, our jing, keep doing the breathing. And notice the distinction between the fight, the flight, and the freeze, and how they change everything about how you actually perceive the world. I'd like different kind of glasses, fight glasses, flight glasses, freeze, well, you don't need glasses anymore. So Let's look at those upper solar plexus. And this isn't just me going blah, blah, blah about science. It's actually saying, this is actually how your mind works. And if you're going to be mindful, you have to get underneath of this, or else, again, you're just a cowboy on a horse or a primate on a horse. So, nice deep breath. Bring your attention to your upper solar plexus, whatever that is to you right now. And again, this is where we do the tend, befriend. This is considered the yin or the feminine survival strategy, connect, negotiate, you know, barter, alliance, trade, all those things, because that's a pretty smart way to get things figured out. You can't always do that with a lion, but you can do that with most other people. And this is why it's our social, instinctual, neurological self, your upper solar plexus. Now, the hard part of this, and this is why this week is going to go deep, and this is why I'm saying trigger warning. I don't mean that to be silly. I'm saying that from my own experience. I have PTSD, so I think I'm allowed to tease myself about how much my nervous system runs my life. So if we can feel the tend to befriend self, the hardest thing we're going to be able to do and the most powerful thing we're going to be able to do is feel the part of us that cowers, that is afraid of being banished, about being kicked out, right? And as children, there's nowhere to go. It's actually why in a lot of indigenous cultures, we do things that people sometimes call a vision quest, which is usually just a process of making kids become confident, you know, sleeping in a hut in the backyard and then maybe going, you know, 100 feet away and then maybe spending a weekend, you know, a couple of miles away by themselves on a hill. Right? So that we can learn to do that in connection instead of being banished. Maybe I'll tell a story about that another time. So this is where it gets tricky, because what is your memory in your solar plexus while you're breathing, while you're aware of your embodied animal self? Where do you remember cowering? Right, having to negotiate with people that aren't negotiating with you. And it's like a freeze state, but it's also a very disempowering state, and it turns us into bad negotiators with powerful people. Not because we're bad at it, but because they're out of control. So this is where the somatic mindfulness starts to get personal. Because your solar plexus isn't just about your survival adaptability, it's about your personal sense of your adaptability. There's the animal sense of your adaptability, grr and purr, and then there's kind of how it's going for you since you learned to notice you're a person amongst people. So there's lots to get into about this, and it's all very sensual, it's all very personal. It might feel a bit ooky, but it's also going to give you the fastest way of returning your vitality back to you. Because it's these cowering, splitting, fracturing, freezing, playing dead, fight or flight disorientations that keep most of us going to a therapist or taking something that makes us need to numb out. If that's what we're doing, if we don't feel that we're numbing out, then maybe we need to do what we're doing for another one of those three whys. And we always have to start with the truth. So the last thing I'm going to bring to your attention, while you're hopefully still doing your reverse breathing, and while your attention is hopefully becoming more deeply intimate to who your solar plexus really is with respect to you, yeah, this is going to get some tears going if your life wasn't, I don't know. I don't know anyone whose life was whatever the myth is supposed to be. Anyway, welcome home if you're starting to really feel you. So the last thing I want to bring up is actually just something about how powerful this might really be. I don't often talk about this just because it's socially a weird thing, but I'm a professional martial artist and I've been training for 40 years. Doesn't matter if I'm good or not, it's just that's a lot of my experience. And in one of the things that I teach people, we actually say before you get into any kind of physical activity, you need to feel your guts, G-U-T-S. And that stands for gear up, unleash your animal, take the initiative, and stay humane. So gear up basically means lock into your body in the way that you've trained your body as a martial artist or as a cop or boxer, or whatever your jam is for that. So sometimes in life, driving down the road, you really have to gear up to be able to get through some of the weather we're having right now by being really connected to how your car works. And it's the same thing if you're in physical danger, you have to gear up your body. Unleash the animal is to become profoundly aware that you're an instinctually apex predator, badass primate that's dealing with, you know, another one. So gear up, unleash your animal. Taking the initiative is just a tactical thing about realizing whose turn it is. And if you're going to block in a fight, you're already losing. So that's just a bad idea. Sorry. And yeah, there's no self-defense. It's just, yeah, apex predators. One's more predator than, yeah, all the stuff you see in the movies is mostly kind of crap. Sorry. Anywho, so we have to gear up, but we have to unleash the animal. We have to take the initiative, which is just to be present and practical. And then to stay humane, which means if you're winning the fight, you don't have to do something horrible to the person. You can just say bad primate and you know, do the least amount of harm. But you can only do that if you have the initiative, if you're completely viscerally scary, and you're connected to your body. So no, this isn't about fighting. It's just about really touching your instinctual animal self in that gut way. And also, very last thing, and I'm not making this up, if you can open up a certain part of your central nervous system and you can open up your gut intelligence, you will develop a kind of radar that is mythical in the martial arts, where when someone comes at you, you will just move because you will just feel it. And you can actually get to the place where you can feel people looking at you and all this other craziness. So that's not my point. My point is that this is what people who decide to commit a lot of time into these practices actually learn. And it's very, very instinctual, and everybody has this. And it all starts inside your solar plexus. So if you get bored today, check out solar plexus online, type in images, and notice that it comes into your body like a star. Half of it's running your animal, half of it's telling your personal self, your social self, how your life is going. So the only thing we can do is become more patient, more attentive, and more conscious. And then you can kind of master some of those parts of yourself by actually learning from them instead of telling them what to do, because that's where things go wrong. So reverse breathing. Feel your jing. Feel your connections. Feel the disconnections. Don't cower. Okay. See you tomorrow morning. Blessings. Have a great Monday. Again, if you have questions or comments throughout the day, I think you can just put them under the film or video, and I'll get to them later on today. So I really hope this is actually touching you. And again, please share this in whatever way, because there is something that I'm hoping to do with this that I think is going to help a lot of people. So happy Monday. Be a healthy, badass primate.